Amen. Good evening. Welcome to this very special Holy Thursday worship experience. This evening, friends, we are going to be praying, we're going to be singing, and we are going to be taking part in the story. This Holy Thursday evening, we are remembering. We're remembering the story of Jesus' final days in this human life. It's a story of a journey through a dark night of the soul for all those that surrounded him. And we're going to take this time now to begin together in prayer. In your worship guide that you have with you, there is a prayer there. I want to invite you to join me in unison as we pray together. Unexpected love, Holy Spirit guide, open us to the story of pain and sacrificial love anew. Help us to walk with each other as Jesus walks with us. Amen.
Amen. And tonight we're going to sing as well, and you're going to want to use your hymnals unless you know these songs, because as you can see, we're going a little old school this evening. It's number 170, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
Tonight, we encounter five people who had front row seats in this incredible real-life drama. We have Mary, a friend of Jesus. We have Simon Peter. We have Judas. A Roman soldier. Mary, a mother of Jesus. And with these five characters, we also have the bearer of God's word, our scripture reader, and my co-narrator. Sometimes this story feels like a story to those of us who have heard it so many times. But it was real. It was painful and rich and life-changing for generations and generations of Christians after it. But how much more so for those who lived then and loved this man named Jesus. Let us enter what the Celts called a thin place. a place of disappearing into a space and time where the human and divine seem particularly close. Let us allow these ancient people to call us more deeply into our faith story.
And now let's sing There's Something About That Name. Number 171.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that.
Fingers right there. We'll sing that song again in a moment.
John 12:1-11. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Judas objected, "Why was the money not used to feed the poor?" Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial."
I was in the middle of the marketplace that day, and it hit me like an overwhelming wave of feeling. I loved him so much. It was a love beyond anything I'd ever known. Not romantic, not like a sibling, certainly like family, but he was so much more to me. He was teacher, he was priest, he was wise one, he was hope itself. And for the first time in those days before the terrible thing happened, I felt he might not be invincible. He had told us, he had warned us. He had been saying this could happen all along, but I just couldn't imagine it. He was so eternal, it seemed, like nothing, not even God, would dare to take him away from any of us. But the tension was building. I will beg him, I thought, to not go to Jerusalem. Just go back to Galilee. Go to the hills. Go to Nazareth. Go anywhere but Jerusalem right now. But even as I thought it to myself, I knew that he wouldn't go. This is where he was supposed to be. With all these people gathered for Passover, Jerusalem is where he had to be. And I knew he might not ever leave. I suddenly became aware that I was still standing stock still, obvious to all around me here in this marketplace, and I began to double over with fear. But just as I did, my eyes came to rest on the stall to my right. A jar, a most beautiful jar of anointing oil. The seller offered it to me for a price that seemed outrageous, but I didn't care. No price could compare with the price my teacher, my master, would pay. And so I bought it, whether in life or in death. My beloved friend would need it.
Mary's anointing of Jesus belonged to the tradition of honoring someone with sweet-smelling oil made of combination of many herbs. This was used at the consecration of kings and also as anointing for burial. In this one act, Mary offers signs of love and honor. The early Christians then used this same scented oil as part of their baptismal and confirmation rites to emphasize their new identity with Christ, which also means anointed one.
And now let's sing "There's Something About That Name" one more time.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. King something about that name.
John 13, 3 through 8, and 12 through 16. When they finished supper, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" After he'd washed their feet and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? Learn from me. You call me teacher, Lord. If I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet."
My whole time with him, one surprise after another. Jesus turned my whole world upside down, especially when it came to relationships. We would worry about who was his right-hand man, and he would always turn it around with his last shall be first stories. I wanted to know where I stood with him. I needed for him to be my Lord, my master, my teacher, and he was. But then when he went and did And then he went and did this foot washing thing that night. Now, none of us were of really high lineage, but we weren't slaves or servants. I mean, at the meal that night, there were people to wait on us. This is the service that just comes with any good room rented out for a meal. But I had planned to wash his feet that night. I was overwhelmed with love for him and fear for his life. I had this nagging need to show him, demonstrate to him, that I would do anything for him. But before I could even begin, he knelt before me. He insisted on washing my feet. I was horrified. I thought maybe he was losing his mind. One more time, he reversed the way I thought things would go. He just kept doing that. He said to me, "You can't be a part of the family of God, the kingdom of God, Peter, if you don't let me do this." As if I couldn't see that he really meant what he said about serving our neighbors, our friends, and our enemies. He always kept me off balance. I thought I knew what he meant, and then it seemed like I just wasn't getting it. I had to surrender all my preconceived ideas about how relationships are, how they go, who we love. I had to surrender and let his loving act of washing my feet heal my soul and heal every disappointing relationship I'd ever had.
Jesus
Jesus used water to model the kind of love we must have for one another, a love that serves the least of our brothers and sisters.
And now if you'll join me in hymn number 579. Lord God, your love has called us here. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
John 13, 21 through 30. Jesus was troubled in spirit that night, and he said, I'm telling you, one of you is going to betray me. The disciples looked at each other, not sure who or what he was talking about. Peter leaned over to Jesus and said, Lord, who is it? Jesus turned to Judas and gave him his own piece of bread. Go quickly, Jesus said to him. Do what you are going to do.
I was so angry with him. Why wouldn't he fight? We had so many followers by this time, and so many were in Jerusalem right now. Why did he insist on this blessed are the meek stuff? I think all along I had hoped that this was the revolution, that we would finally stand up to the Roman occupiers. And he had such power and charisma. Couldn't he have done anything, this Son of God? I suppose my bitterness finally took over. I'd kept it all in for some time, and it had started to boil in rage until I just snapped. If I couldn't get my revolution, I could get out. I was tired of holding the purse for this motley group of people who gave it away as soon as it came in. And then I discovered that I could get out with some money from those dirty Romans. It all happened so fast. They approached me. They had seen me, watched me, perhaps read my indecision, my anger, my separation at times from the group, and it just happened. And then, there I was at the table, his table, knowing what I had set into motion. All of a sudden, I was flooded with panic as we all sat there. The air felt heavy with fear and unknowing, all of us at the table again. It reminded me of the meals in our years together, sometimes just us, this small band of disciples, but often with someone Jesus had invited to dinner. Someone we couldn't believe, yet again, he was hanging out with. Sometimes it was hard to understand. People who took advantage of others. People who had no interest in supporting him. People who questioned him. People who were beneath him. Really. He invited anyone to the table. The bottom feeders. And then I realized as he stretched out the cup of wine to me and dipped the bread in it that he saw right through me. knew my thoughts. He was doing it once again, inviting a scoundrel to dinner. Only this time, it was me. He was offering to share the cup and break the bread with despicable me. He would never have hurt anyone. He loved us all, even the lowest of the low.
Number 640, Take Our Bread. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours, yours as we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget, we are the sign of your life with us yet, we are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives, oh Father, we are standing washed in your blood. Spirit-filled yet hungry, we await your food. We are poor, but we brought ourselves the best we can. We are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours.
Friends, just as Jesus did not hesitate to share the cup of wine with Judas, who he knew would betray him to the authorities, Jesus invites all of us, no matter our pain, our despair, our failures, and our faults. Jesus says, come and eat with me, for this grace can transform you. So this night you are invited, just like in the Last Supper, to share the food that nourishes our spirits on the journey. We remember his words that echoed this night to his disciples and that have echoed through the ages. I am always with you. So now you are all invited to a time of reflection. When you're ready, you're invited to visit various stations that are around our sanctuary. Inspired by Mary's act of anointing, you're invited to visit our anointing station over here at this prayer rail, where somebody will take oil, anoint your forehead with the sign of the cross, and remind you that you are God's beloved child. Likewise, we have a station with a basin of warm water. You are invited to go and have your hands washed and dried in preparing your heart for servanthood. May the washing of our hands be a symbol of our commitment to love our neighbors. And finally, you are invited to eat and drink the meal of Holy Communion at this communion station, where we have pre-blessed elements present. Remember the death of Jesus, the most powerful example of love given to humanity. But also, remember the rest of the story. We know what emerges from death is always life. After you have returned to your seats, then we will continue in our worship experience with the Lord's Prayer, and we'll continue in worship. And so as music begins to play, you are invited to go as your heart leads you. I invite our servers to please come to their stations right now. And then I'm going to invite the rest of you to come forward. Won't you come? want to invite you now to stand together, and we're going to join together in our Lord's Prayer. And I realized in the copy that I have in our bulletin that I wrote this before, we sort of changed how we do the Lord's Prayer. We put a comma after "lead us." So as Kip and I say this Lord's Prayer together, we're going to have a little pause after that just to bring it up. It just kind of brings us into the real meaning of that line of the Lord's Prayer. So let's join together, friends.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
After dinner, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed. And then the soldiers came, and they arrested Jesus. They took him to the council, and then to the governor's palace, where they tried to make it look like a trial, but it wasn't. And then finally, they led him away to the place where criminals were hung, always on crosses, so that they would die slowly, painfully. Jesus was hung in between two other crosses, bandits on each side of him, and the sign over Jesus' cross said, "This was the King of the Jews."
The scene was horrifying. Not that I wasn't used to crucifixions. They were favored ways of putting prisoners to death by the Romans, and so I had assisted many times. But I'd heard about this man, Jesus. We thought Barabbas was going to be on this cross, but the crowds had become almost out of control, and I heard that Pilate simply washed his hands of it, sent this one to die just to shut them up. Who knows what these crowds were really screaming about? There was so much confusion and rumor, no one would probably ever know the truth. That's what I thought. But when the reality hit his followers that Jesus was really going to die, and they saw him heading to Golgotha with the cross, the horror really began. Even the heavens seemed to be wailing as storms began to appear. It gave me chills. These are not things I want to tell you. I'm a soldier, but it is always easier protecting others than protecting yourself. From the mothers who beg for mercy for their sons, from those who insist on waiting the hours and even days it takes to die this agonizing death. Being a soldier can't always protect you from what you witness firsthand. Like hearing Jesus talk to the prisoners on the other two crosses next to him, the promise that death is not the end for them. And then he looked at me, right at me, and he spoke the words I'll hear for the rest of my life, and the words that mean I can no longer do this job anymore. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Later, after he died, they pierced him in his side. I still don't understand why, but in that moment I knew that he was truly the Son of God. His blood poured out, just like the love he poured out for his people. The blood flowed from his side. The blood flowed. The love flowed.
Thank you.
cross of Jesus were his mother and some other women he had known well. When he saw his mother and the disciple John there in front of him, Jesus said, "Take the son in my place. Take good care of my mother."
"My son," from the moment the angel said to me, "you will bear a son," my life was no longer my own. Yet it was every bit mine. Moments treasured, remembered in my heart alone. Every moment he grew within me, every day of his youth, every movement of his ministry from that day at Cana to this very minute. At times, the pain of watching him give his life away seemed harder to bear than the wonder of this unimaginable life that God has given me, and especially now. In this moment, I am not just the mother of Jesus shedding tears for my son. I am the tears of any mother who has seen their child die before them. I am the tears of every mother who has lost children in war and injustice. I am the tears of all loved ones who cannot save their loved ones as they starve or taken by illness or injury or swept away in a tsunami or a flood. I know the tears of mothers whose children lose lives to their addictions or who consume by depression or who are lost to violence. And I am the tears of all those who do not know the fate of the missing ones. I am the tears.
Number 288, Were You There?
Tremble, tremble. to shine. And were you there when the sun refused to shine? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And were you
our journey this evening takes us to another place, and I'm going to invite our Mary Mother of Jesus and all the others to lead us to the choir loft where the cross awaits. And we'll gather over here for a benediction. Still have plenty of room. Come on up, folks. Lord Jesus, our hearts are here, joined together. And we don't know, come close to knowing the love that you share with us. But Lord God, may we remember how that amazing love has changed our lives. Lord God, we now ask that you take us to Easter. We know that resurrection's coming. But for all those that are out there, all those that only know violence or war, that only know pain or hurt or loss or addiction, Lord God, shine your light. And may your light shine through all of us. We love you, Holy God, beautiful Jesus, and wondrous Holy Spirit. Amen. You're welcome to stay here or go back to your seat, or our service is concluded. You can go home. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you Sunday.